Hey guys, it's Troy from ZiaComics.com, and I am here with the creator and mastermind behind Here Comes Calico,
Yes,
Mr. H.H. German. And if you guys don't know what Calico is or what it's about, shame on you, because it is probably one of the better indie comics out there right now, gaining a lot of groundswell. You're at every con that I've been going to lately, it seems like. I see you there.
Right.
And like I said, is Calico just picking up steam? And it's such a great concept. And I'll let you, since it's your creation, I'll let you guys explain to these guys exactly what Calico is.
Sure. The Calico is the ultimate defender of animals. He gets intel on people who abuse and kill animals, and he goes after those a-holes with extreme justice. No cookies for the animal abusers. So that's him in a nutshell. As for me, I'm H.H. German, as you mentioned, Troy, and thank you for this time here on your channel to say hello to your audience and also let them know about this wonderful series that we have right now active on Kickstarter until January. Again, I'm H.H. German. I'm a former prize fighter from the Bronx, and I created this series. I am a graduate of the School of Visual Arts, almost like a mecca to a lot of comic book creators. And I actually didn't go there for comics, believe it or not. I went there for something else. But I always had comics deep in my heart. I always loved comics. Comics is actually part of my American story. My family came here in the 60s, and I was born in the 70s. And, you know, along with Sesame Street, comic books were really part of my vernacular, creating my English vernacular. And I love comics. And here was an opportunity to marry the passion for comics with, my passion for animals. And I like I mentioned, I do have a background in fighting, so I know that pretty well. And I leverage that knowledge into the character, the Calico, who, again, is the ultimate defender of animals.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, defender of animals, and sometimes brutally so. He's not Batman. You know, he's not like, this ain't going to be the Joker. You're not going to see the same villains return a lot to Calico. He puts him out of commission. And
right.
Sigma Comics is a big, I mean, if you go to your website, you can see, yeah, you guys are a big supporter of, I don't want to say animal rights, but, you know, being a voice for the animals who don't have a voice.
Yeah. And you can definitely say animal welfare, animal care. It all falls under the spectrum of people who love animals. And those are really, you know, they make up a big portion of our customer base, our readers, 50-50 mix of people who love comics, old school comic book readers from the 80s, 90s, and, you know, even 2000s, but also animal lovers and people who really hate the fact that, you know, animal abuse stories are often in the news, don't get enough attention, but because of pop culture creations and art like Here Comes Calico, we're able to address the topic. It's a very serious one. And we partner with vetted charities whose program to operations ratio are over 85% in maximizing their exposure to our audience. And we do that free of charge. And it's a wonderful thing for them, because in doing so, we're creating memberships for them. And that's what we want to do.
That's great. Now you guys are getting ready. You're giving us a Christmas present with the Kickstarter here for number 8. I'm trying to sum up the first 7 issues, but there's just so much going on in all 7 issues that, you know, you're telling me issue 8 is a double length 48 pager. I don't think that's going to be enough. I don't know how you're tying all these loose ends together. So I'll let you take everybody from issue 1 to where we're at now with Kickstarter for number 8.
Sure. Well, the big thing was, the Calico has been doing this for 8 years. We realized this right from the sort of the beginning. He's really someone who loves animals. And we start off with a horrible thing that happens to a dog, and something that really is a big blow to the senses, to anybody who opens up issue 1 of Here Comes Calico. And who it is Dog Mom. And she's on the other end. She's feeding the Calico this stream, and that's how he gets this information. That's how he always gets it. It's through Dog Mom. And, you know, this is the reader now learning about this guy who's becoming very emotional on the other end of this video feed. As Dog Mama says, listen, you know, I can't, what's going on? Are you okay? You know, I'm not getting any feedback here. And that launches into him, you know, getting into his training, which he does every day. He is a boxer in the Bronx, a former boxer in the Bronx. And that's how he hones his skills. And later we see him getting back to his apartment and, you know, going for that calico suit because he has a job to do that night. And that job takes him into upstate, not really upstate, but a suburb of New York City in Westchester. And he pays a visit to a family that's been doing the old trophy hunting. And he takes care of them pretty good. And that's really the first time the audience understands what they're in for.
Yeah, no spoilers, but yeah, they're not trophy hunting anymore.
that's an understatement. Well said, Troy. And listen, that takes you right into issue two, where, you know, the Calico gets some information about a guy who is participating in seal clubbing, and that's a big industry in Canada. And they get putting the skin, which goes into lots of garments, and also the perfumes, the aromas that come from the blubber. So there's lots of oils that come from it. I mean, it's just, and the thing about it is, you know, this is another important issue, because here is where you get into a little bit of his psyche. He really doesn't have problems with hunting. He's got problems with trophy hunting. You know, when you abuse this stuff, or you're doing commercial hunting, stuff like that in excess. We're at a point as a society where we really don't need to do those things. Certainly in parts of remote, part of the planet, you know, hunting is still a very valid thing to do. In fact, we wouldn't be here as a species if it wasn't for hunting. And he recognizes that. So his beef is not with hunters or hunting. It's with the just indiscriminate mass, you know, hunting or doing it out of vanity. That's really the issue there. And I think it's an important thing to communicate to the readers, because it's not that he's trying to, you know, be hostile or angry to everybody. It's just these certain individuals that really have no business doing this stuff. So, and then of course he takes care of that guy. Let's just say he pays him a visit, and it is a birthday visit. So,
yeah, well, that wasn't a very good gift he gave him, but yeah, it was a birthday
present. Yeah, well, and the gift wasn't only limited to him too. So that was a pretty fun issue there. So, and then of course the third issue, at the end of that issue, we realized that the Calico, or Hector really, lives in this neighborhood, and he gets fed information not only by Dog Mama, but just like sort of passing information locally. And he finds out about a landlord who's been kicking the dog. The poor dog can't even walk anymore. And that guy gets a little visit as well. And in doing so, we learn in the beginning of issue three that there was some information exchange that happened at that moment. And that's when he realizes there's illegal dog fighting chain that's going on. And that guy gets a little visit as well. And we get more of the Calico. And really the third issue represents the last time where he's going out and sort of quelling these one-shot deals. And really four is where we get to know that this really has been an 8-year project for the Calico, because that's when we meet the external or additional team, the network that he's a part of. And that takes him into deeper and deeper waters, because it turns out he was followed. And that creates another set of perilous problems at that. And that's where his real big problems start occurring in the series. So he's definitely in serious trouble starting in issue four. I mean, it's not even a gradual water increase. I mean, the water goes right over his head in that for issue four. So that takes us into issue five, where there's another gentleman who's on the docket for a visitation. And There's another fellow who actually kicks off the issue with his issues, and boy, he wipes up the neighborhood pretty good there with his appearance and his introduction. I would say he's probably the most memorable introduction of all the characters in the series.
Yes.
And I have to say, that's probably my favorite issue, I have to say, just because it's a really enjoyable reminiscing of what comics really used to be like in the 80s and 90s, you know? It's just super fun from page one to, you know, page 24. So then that takes us into issue 6. And that one is pretty fun as well, because that one is a pretty meticulous invasion of a facility. And that's really where you really sort of get his full process of how he goes about doing his work. And, you know, typically, once he has his prey, it's a very deliberate application of Calico Justice. In this case, it was really more from the very beginning of getting into the facility, tracking down who, you know, the technology piece. There were other people involved as well, cutting cameras off and scrambling all sorts of things. It was a very fun, meticulous issue just to get into the nuts and bolts of the Calico life when he goes about his business. And then that individual gets closed shop there.
Yep.
And then 7 was a continuation of 6, because at that point in 6, that's where the Calico learns about his little buddy. He's sort of in danger as well, so he has to get a part from him to complete him, because his little friend there is an android and he's sort of in pieces right now. And that takes him into the ultimate Big Boss issue 8 situation, and that's where we open up. It's really, you know, issue 8, if I could sum it up, is it's actually, if you ever saw the movie, you know, issue 7 was kind of like The Warriors, that movie The Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
You're on the train and you're having these fights all throughout New York City and you have to get to that last train stop. And that's sort of the way issue 7 is. Issue 8 is very much like Bruce Lee's last movie, which is Game of Death. And in fact, there's a reference to it. You'll see it. That's the only little bit I'll tell you and your audience. The bad guy, the $1 boss, he is the big head honcho of this. It's not even a gang. It's a criminal network. These are the big boys in New York. And Calico makes a reference that he's not even qualified to be facing off against these guys. Because remember, the Calico's not a superhero. He's very much in the ilk of a Punisher, who's a vigilante sort of anti-hero. So all he really relies on is his suit and, you know, a couple of weapons. So very much like the Punisher, he's now in front of this building. And that building belongs to ODB, the $1 boss. And as you know, Troy, because you're familiar with the series, this is the guy that really has been putting out all these criminal feelers out into the New York, you know, criminal scene. And it's a couple of big ones that he puts out that catches the Calico in his net or in his spider web. So the Calico is in serious trouble again, because now he's in front of these guys and he's got a decision to make whether he's going to actually go in there and step foot in this building. Because now he's got, well, I don't want to ruin it for everybody, but let's just say that what he was after in issue 7, he got, and his little buddy's now in 100% condition. So now you have the Calico and his little friend in front of this building and they're ready to go. So that's where we are. So.
Yeah. When he lost Bumble, I was kind of, you know, that's his forward recon guy right there. So, I'm very glad he got him back. I think the thing I like about Calico is it's not just black and white. You have a bunch of different shades of gray in between there as well. That, right. Like I said, you high level glazed over a lot. There's so many compelling characters that get introduced and then they're gone. You're like, but I want to know more about that guy.
Yeah. So
or that group. There's a couple of groups too.
Right.
So, and, you know, like I said, like you said, you know, he doesn't just get his information from the network that supports him. He also has his street level informants, you know, and his I guess you'd call them mid-level bosses that he has contacts with from his previous life as a cat burglar.
Yes.
So I mean, there's so many different levels of good and bad in there that it's like real life. It's really what got me intrigued.
Yeah, it's a good point. I just wanted to give you a very high level quick thing just for the audience, because there are so many bits and pieces to it. Kingman, which is probably our favorite character and who I give center stage in marketing issue 8. He's definitely very prominent in the entire series, and I didn't even mention him, but it only serves to qualify your point. There's so many different moving parts to this story that you could even tell it without even mentioning a Kingman, which is insane. But you'll see that he's definitely a very prominent fixture in issue 8 as well. And listen, I think everybody who's already tuned into the series is going to really love issue 8 of Here Comes Calico, because it will not let you rest. It won't let you breathe. You're going to crack open your favorite drink. And listen, you're going to be there for a while. It's not a quick read at all. This is a double sized issue, and there's a lot going on. More than one fight going on in this issue. There's a lot of fights going on.
I mean, I wouldn't even suggest to people to go back and read the first 7 again before you get number 8, because there's so many subplots and little backstories. There's Easter eggs hidden in the artwork. There's a lot of references, you said, you know, to different pop culture movies and stuff like that. So go back and read them once or twice more before number 8 comes out. And see just how much more you pick up. Go to it with a different eye instead of just reading the story and getting done. Look around in the background scenes, you know, pay attention to what's being said. And I think you'll get a lot more out of the story when number 8 hits.
Well said, Troy. I agree with you 100%. It's an excellent suggestion. Everybody, seriously, if you already have your issues 1 through 7 or even 1 through 6 and you need to get 7, get caught up, because this one's going to be a doozy. And let me tell you, you're going to want to be as deep as you can into the story, because things heat up pretty well. You could definitely, this story gets cooking in issue 8. I mean, it already was, but man, we get into the trimmings and the fixings and all the good stuff here with the desserts and everything. You really do get your dessert. You know, I think that's the best one. You're going to get your dessert in issue 8, and you guys deserve it. Troy above everyone else deserves this dessert.
Yeah, no doubt. Like you said, 8's on going to Kickstarter. So can you tell people how to support on Kickstarter and what levels there are, what they're going to get?
Right. It's already on Kickstarter. It started on December 5th. We met our goal, Troy, in 4 days. That's the record goal. It was unbelievable. I know we talked about this, that we've had an issue with Kickstarter. They hired a new person there, and that person's been wonderful. And I spoke to their VP, and she's great too. And I really think that they're going to help us moving forward, because we got the Project We Love status, and that really introduced the series to more people. And listen, like I predicted, in 4 days, we blew the goal, and we blew past 2 goals already. And now we're on pace to blowing past the third one, probably in the next few days here. We're only, you know, a couple $100 away from getting to the next one. Everybody's going to get posters. I'm pretty sure, everyone's going to get posters when we hit that goal. But already everybody's going to get stickers, and they're going to get signed copies. Everybody's going to get their copy signed. So the posters are just a couple $100 away. So everybody's going to get posters. So we're really moving along here with this campaign. And it's a wonderful thing. What they're going to get is issue 8. Definitely, and they're going to get it in double size format, 48 pages, but they're also going to get their option of 6 different covers, which is wonderful. It's the first time we've done variants, and these are comic book creators, incredibly talented, award-winning creators from DC, from Marvel, from all around the country. We have actual fine artists doing covers. We have manga artists. We really wanted to run the spectrum here with these cover artists, because we have many different types of comic book fans. They're into different things, and that's the reason why we did it. And it's just so fun, and it's really exciting. And we also have, for the first time ever, we have an exclusive limited issue 1/6 scale calico statue. This thing is unbelievable. It's a solid statue. It's not one of these hollow statues. It's pure, solid, polyactic AF. It's a premium material for sculptures. It's used by the top modeling sculptors of figurines and statues, of course. And that's why we decided to make sure this was a premium fixture for our fans. And of course, we only wanted to do 10 statues. We started with 10. We're only down to 6 as we speak. So we only have 6 left. So this is an invite to your fan, to your audience. Come get these statues. Come get the posters. Come get everything. Issue 8. Guys, you're going to love it. I'm sure some of you are reading Here Comes Calico. If you are, run and support the Kickstarter right now. All you got to do is type in Here Comes Calico on Kickstarter, and you'll see the Issue 8 Kickstarter, which is active. And you could select, first thing you want to do is back this project, the green button. And then once you hit that green button, it'll give you all the options there. And actually, if you go to the rewards, you can click on the picture of any of the one of the rewards, and then that'll bring up a green button, a back it button. And that'll do it that way. Sometimes we have people that go to the project, Troy, and they don't know how to do it because they set it up a little weird. You first have to click on the project, and that's when the button shows up. I mean, it should be there anyway, right? But that's just the way Kickstarter does it. So definitely run right now as you're hearing this on your computer or your phone, whatever you're doing, open up a new tab and go to Kickstarter and type in Here Comes Calico. Find the Issue 8 Kickstarter, which is Issue 8, Here Comes Calico. Fighting Animal Abuse is Bloody Business. That's the name of the campaign. And you guys are going to love it because let me tell you, this is going to be a rated M for mature comic book series. Hide the kids on this one. You don't want the kids near this comic book series.
Yeah, it should be actually M plus or something. It's really, really mature. But yeah. If you're looking for a last minute gift for animal lovers, right. Go back it, print out your backing, stuff it in the stocking, man. Perfect. Fits perfect. Be a great gift when it comes out. And you were mentioning the 1/6 scale statues. Those are all individually molded. Are they hand painted as well?
Yep, they're hand painted. Absolutely.
So each one is unique. Each one is a one of one if they're hand painted. So they're each unique. Yeah. So that's another good selling point to get that amazing statue. And right. Calico's pretty buff. I mean, you look at dude, and he's wearing the spandex suit. So
yeah,
every muscle's popping out there, dude. The Kickstarter is just such a great value. Go and get the first 7, read them, wait for the Kickstarter to come out, and you're going to be like me, probably chomping at the bit, waiting to see how this ends.
Right.
Once this ends, can you tell us about any future plans for Calico? I mean, I'm sure I think you should probably do a trade paperback, maybe a hardcover. Right. I would love to see those. I'd love to have a hardcover on my shelf.
Right.
But what are the further future plans for Calico? Is this going to be centered on him, or are you going to have, are there other agents in this organization that we're not aware of that were maybe going to be introduced as a little side thing?
Well, yes and yes to everything above. The next project, and this is, we have an option now because the series will conclude with Issue 8. So we have options as to how to go from here. My absolute option that I'm going to pursue is to trade with this because it's once you put this thing together under one book, not only is it going to resonate in a more powerful way, it's going to be a very efficient way to disseminate the story for us because we are a new publisher. We want to be able to, in a compact, precise way, get the story into the hands of someone. Okay, so the trade is coming as soon as I possibly can get it done. And I honestly think, believe it or not, we can get it done within a month or two from this Kickstarter. We have a very aggressive goal to get the trade done. I would start like a couple of weeks after this one is over promoting it, or even a week after promoting the trade. So Yeah, and that one's going to be great because it's going to have the whole series plus a bunch of additional insider stuff that some of which you know because, you know, you're a friend of the series, but things that absolutely no one knows, and even yourself, Troy, there's things that have happened that you don't know about with the series, conversations that were had. I mean, I'll give you one right now. There are legends of the series. Okay. I honestly think this is one of the only indie comic books that is read religiously by legends. And one of those is a man who he was considered as part of the big three of the, you know, original Marvel universe, which was Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, and there was another name that came in shortly after, actually right around the same time, that changed comic books forever, not just Marvel, but all comics forever. And his name is the one and only Jim Steranko. Okay, he's a big fan of the series. I know Jim Steranko. Yep, big fan of the series. And let me tell you, one of the pillars of comic books. And he's a big supporter. Not only is he a big fan of the series, but he's a big supporter of the series. He's also an animal lover. And every time we get together, he stops the press. And literally, there are lines out the door, and he stops everything. And he, you know, we talk for 10, 15, 20 minutes, and it's a very hands-on conversation. The last time I saw him was the last show I did, which was last. And as he always does, he stopped the press and he took me aside and we spoke for 15 minutes. And he became very serious with me about issue 8. Something that only you know right now, and your audience is going to know when I tell you this. But issue 8 was already written when I spoke to Jim Steranko. And the conversation was so powerful, insightful, and guiding that the story changed a bit. Let's just say that. Okay? That's the kind of impact that this conversation had. This is the kind of guidance that I'm getting from people like Jim Steranko and, as you know, Mike Baron, who is a legendary Punisher creator. He's the one who gets the credit for putting the Punisher on the map, is Mike Baron. Chuck Dixon, this is Chuck Dixon saying this, by the way, another supporter of our series. So we have, I mean, how blessed am I to have people like this that, you know, are giving this thing support? You know, it's easy when you have that kind of support on your side, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking a Jim Steranko cover for the trade paperback would just send that thing right over the top.
No, he's such an iconic artist. I've been the past year, and he's very busy. He's very busy, but listen, another person who I speak with is Simon Bisley. All right, just imagine that. Just imagine a Simon Bisley calico cover.
A very Lobo-esque looking calico.
Right. So, you know, he's someone I talk to. You know, there's a few people I speak with. And listen, this is really our first foray into different. I mean, Garnabille kicks serious butt. And it's not like we need, you know. Garnabille's always going to be our main cover artist. And I'll say that right now because he frankly kicks butt. And he has really introduced, like no one else, the Calico to everyone. He's the one, you know. Garnabille is so important because I take all the you know this, but your audience doesn't know this. I draw all the characters first. Okay. I give it to the team. And then Garnabille has his version. Orobich has his, you know, Pinto has his, but you know, Garnabille is the most important person for getting people to stop and look at the book. Okay, this is the Calico that they know because he's going to be key. And he does an excellent job of stopping people. There's times, you just mentioned this earlier, you know, Troy, you see me at all these shows. Typically I'm talking to someone already when you come by. And I can't tell everybody. And it's Garnabille's cover that stops him. This is, holy crap, what's going on here? So while I speak to these people, I just say, hey, I'll be with you in a second. They're already enthralled. And then once Garnabille stops them, you got Pinto grabbing them. And, you know, that's it. That's all I need. Somebody stop him and then somebody to grab him. Pinto's doing an excellent job. He's a young guy. And, you know, he's just a wonderful workhorse. Beautiful. Proud of him. And he keeps getting better and better, you know. And that's another blessing that we have is we work with very talented people. You know, I'm not just a typical writer. I'm really the creator to guide the entire team here, make sure that their art is on point. And it's a daily thing. We're going back and forth together. And I think it shows in the artwork and the writing and the whole story.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. The artwork is what stops them. And then the story hooks them and keeps them in. So, I mean, it's right. A good 1-2 punch.
Absolutely.
The story has going there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't wait. I've seen a few of the, I guess, the teaser pics you put out for the different covers for 8 coming up. And every one of them, it just jars a memory from one of the first 7. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I can't wait. Is there going to be a Jiggler cover?
I can't comment on those things. You know, I can't.
Well, I'm hoping for a Jiggler cover.
Yeah. You know what, though? I think ultimately the bottom line is the series are going to walk away. You know, sometimes what happens is, Troy, you know, this is a lifelong comic book fan. Sometimes you read a series and you're really let down. You're really into the story. I mean, I'd rather read a crappy story that at least gives me a satisfying conclusion than a really good story that just dropped the damn ball. And man, you've been there. You've been there before, right?
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, way too many times.
Right. It's just the worst thing in the world, man. You know, it's sort of like you came home from, I don't know what sport you played when you were a kid. And you come home, you were sweating, you were tired, you were exhausted, and you want that Sunny D or whatever that drink is that you like. And it's there. You see it. And you go for it, and it weighs like 0.0005 ounces because there's nothing in there. That's exactly.
Yeah. I would say it's more like Game of Thrones final season. All the buildup and no delivery.
How about Sopranos?
Yeah, I tried to block that one up. It happens a lot when they rush to the ending. So I'm glad you didn't rush, and I'm glad you're able to tie it up in 48 pages. I just don't know how you're going to answer all the questions. So I'm thinking there's going to be more to come after these original 8. I'm hoping there's going to be more to come after these original 8.
Well, here's the thing, and this will answer also. It'll give you part and answer to the other question you had. The next thing is going to be the trade. All right. And then it is a conclusive story. And trust me, don't worry. You'll be satisfied. You'll get your dessert. You won't have that experience. I promise you that. If anything, if you feel like that, it's more because you want more, not because you felt the story wasn't fully told. It's more because you want more of the story. Right. So that's how we'll leave you. And of course, there will be additional stuff, additional stories in the way of a manga. And that's going to be the Green Eye Bandito. And that's really why we decided to do the manga, because the Calico, if we're going to do manga with the Calico, which we still are, it's people who like series like Go-Go 13, Berserk. These are more mature series, which we can certainly still do. But those of you who aren't reading the story, it's Hector when he's a kid, prior to him becoming an actual professional, you know, cat burglar. It lends itself to a manga really well. And the stories are just coming out like water. And I'm also mentoring Casey Gare, who I think you met. She's been on the road selling our comics, and she's expressed interest in writing some stories. And so I have her on some stuff as well. Stories. So it's a fun thing. Fun stuff for 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, keep it growing. Keep it growing.
Yeah, good stuff. So, you know, at this point, do you have any questions?
Yeah, the questions I don't think you can answer. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's
true. I guess, like I said, everybody go support the Kickstarter. like you said, is breaking through all the stretch goals. Let's hit them all and make him have to make some more stretch goals.
Yeah.
What's the last day they can support this on Kickstarter?
It's going to be January 5th. So we still have, 9 and 12, whatever it is. So definitely, guys, listen, the holidays don't end until like January 6th. That was the Three Kings Day. All right. So keep going. Get the gifts in, and we appreciate it. And keep in knowledge that your pennies go to fighting animal abuse. Okay. So we're taking money from you, but it's going to a great cause. And we're giving you not only the Calico series, which is a really great read and fun and beautiful to have on your shelf, but also the knowledge that you're doing something for the smallest and innocent and frailest among us, our pets, our beloved pets. And that's what we're all about. And I really want to thank you, Troy. Been a very firm supporter of the series. You have our comics in your store, and we appreciate you for that. And thank you so much for all your support throughout the years.
Oh, my pleasure. If it wasn't a good story, I wouldn't support it. So that's all on you. You guys made a really good story. And if you haven't gotten the first 7 issues, they can still pick them up on your site, sigmacomics.com, correct?
That's right. Sigmacomics.com. Get them there. And listen, we could also get that at the Kickstarter, kickstarter.com. Type in "Here Comes Calico," and you'll see the Kickstarter support us with everything you have. And we're going to come back to you with a great series in hand very soon.
Yeah, and get one for yourself, one for your friends. Buy one for everybody, man. Spread the word, because we need to see more Calico.
Thank you, Troy. I appreciate you. And I want to wish you and your audience and your family a very happy holidays and a happy new year to come.
And we wish it all back to you, too.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
All right.